This week, the U.S. government launched a new radio service to Afghanistan in the local languages, Dari and Pashto. The services are the latest addition to a network now broadcasting in 29 languages, mainly to countries where democracy is not firmly established. Since 1995, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, has been based in Prague. Now Czech authorities are asking the network to leave the city. They say it's a target for terrorists and poses a security threat to the citizens of Prague. But as NPR's Guy Raz reports, security concerns may not be the only reason some officials want the broadcaster out.
The old Czechoslovak Parliament building looms large over downtown Prague. The giant structure is a reminder of the so-called period of normalization in the late 1960s, when the Communist Party quashed free speech. Today, the building houses the headquarters of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. And these days, it's surrounded by concrete barriers and Warsaw Pact-era armored vehicles. Half a dozen heavily armed soldiers stand guard. Czech government spokesman Libor Rauček explains why.
It's a major security risk and, of course, number one target for potential terrorists.
Terrorists like alleged hijacker Mohammed Atta, who visited Prague in 2000. Last autumn, Czech Prime Minister Miloš Zeman hastily announced evidence of an al-Qaeda plot to blow up the building. He said Atta had met with an Iraqi diplomat in Prague who appeared to be casing out the building. But according to Oldřich Černý, the former chief of Czech intelligence, that allegation is an outright lie.
If someone wanted to blow up Radio Free Europe, they would have done it. So I don't think that Radio Free Europe or the building of the Radio Free Europe is such a hot target, no.
But because the government does think it's a target, it wants the broadcaster to leave the city. And it's caused a major rift between Prime Minister Zeman and Czech President Václav Havel, a supporter of the radios. At a news conference this past week, Havel facetiously asked the government to relocate Prague Castle, the Senate, and the presidential palace because they too could be targeted by terrorist groups. And Tom Dine, the president of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, fiercely opposes such a move as well.
You can't send us to the hops fields of southern Bohemia because we're not going. This is where President Havel invited us to come. This is where we gladly accepted. This is where we're going to stay as long as we possibly can.
A move would cost the U.S. government millions and take more than 18 months to carry out. Tomáš Pesina, editor of the Czech magazine Britské listy, says Prime Minister Zeman isn't really concerned about security issues. He suspects the armored vehicles are stationed around the building to instill fear in the residents here.
Zeman's government wants to show that they view Radio Free Europe as a representative of American interests in this country, and they don't want to accept them in full.
And according to Pesina, some ministers in Zeman's government were former members of the Communist Party and are suspected of harboring resentments against Radio Free Europe.
Слушайте, слушайте. Сегодня начинает свои передачи новая радиостанция освобождения.
Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty started experimental broadcasts in 1950. For 43 years, they were based in Munich and targeted countries in the Soviet sphere of influence. The early broadcasts were filled with what now seems like unsophisticated anti-Soviet propaganda. In 1967, an American magazine revealed that the CIA was the radio's main source of funding. But by the late 1960s, RFERL became an entirely government-funded operation and a source of unfiltered news.
Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty were immensely important, and not only in this country, but in the whole of the former Soviet bloc.
Peter Broad was the network's first permanent correspondent in Prague after the fall of communism.
They were a primary channel of information transfer into countries that were behind the Iron Curtain. And really, the Iron Curtain was something that was almost impenetrable for ideas, for books, for free voices.
The radios were regarded as a major threat by the Soviet Union and its satellites, and communist governments did their best to discredit the broadcasts.
Tato znělka patří ilegální rozhlasové stanici, která je nástrojem podvratné a špionážní činnosti.
Using radio announcements like these, the Czech government warned the public not to listen to Radio Free Europe. It proclaimed, "This illegal radio station is the main tool of espionage and subversive activities directed against the socialist countries."
I still remember Václav Havel walking along the streets before 1989 with a little radio hanging around his neck, listening to Radio Free Europe all the time.
Former Czech Republic intelligence chief Oldřich Černý and many other communist-era dissidents still listen to Radio Free Europe, but audience share here is a meager 0.06%. It's a number that has many people here and in Washington wondering whether Radio Free Europe's time has come and gone. President Tom Dyne says it continues to play a crucial role in fostering democratic values.
All of Europe is not free. All of Europe is not undivided. All of Europe is not democratic. There's still instability. There's still just the nascent remnants of democracy, of democratic institutions.
In some countries, like Azerbaijan and Ukraine, RFERL commands a significant audience share, sometimes as high as 25%. The broadcasts to Iran and Iraq are regularly blasted in the official press there, and Tom Dyne says that shows the radios are still vital.
We are promoting our values in the context of news and information, being straight, making our words credible.
Credibility, he insists, people in authoritarian countries depend on. Guy Raz, NPR News, Prague.